It's October 24, 2012. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, as Election Day draws closer, the mysterious group Anonymous issues a new violent threat.
On the 5th of November 2012, the device will detonate remotely. The Air Legion. We do not forget. We do not forgive. On the 5th of November, you will expect us.
Then, here we go again. Voting machines already miscalculating votes. This time in North Carolina. Plus, emails released today show that the White House was thoroughly briefed about the Benghazi embassy attacks. And Rob Du conducts a hard-hitting interview with an anonymous Army National Guard source who warns that preppers are being targeted. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight on InfoWars Nightly News. Will anonymous bomb threat throw election for Obama? A YouTube threat to bomb a government building along with a plan by other members of Anonymous to storm the White House and Congress in an attempt to arrest government officials the day before the presidential election could provide the right crisis for Barack Obama to secure a second term. Now, this is a complex story that we put out on InfoWars.com earlier today. So let's try and simplify it. Boils down to two things. One is a video put out on YouTube a couple of days ago by an individual claiming to represent Anonymous. It's been on YouTube for over 48 hours, has not been deleted, which is interesting because anything that's considered controversial usually gets deleted or at least censored, age restricted within hours. This hasn't. And in this video, this individual who's wearing the classic V for Vendetta Guy Fawkes mask openly says that Anonymous has planted a 200-pound bomb in a government building and that it will be detonated on November 5th, one day before the presidential election. We got a clip of that video, which we're going to go to now.
Citizens of the world, we are Anonymous. As of today, 200 kilograms of composite nitroglycerin and commercial explosives have effectively been concealed in a government building situated in the United States of America. On the 5th of November 2012, the device will detonate remotely. The Air Legion. We do not forget. We do not forgive. On the 5th of November, you will expect us.
So that's the bomb threat video that's been circulating on YouTube. Other members of Anonymous, of course, it's a loose collective. It's not a centralized group. They've denied any links with it, claim they're non-violent. But then we've got another situation parallel to it, which is that also on November 5th, there's this big event being organized by a separate strand of Anonymous in which they openly plan to storm the White House and other government buildings in DC to conduct, quote, mass arrests, including the arrest of Obama. And the fact that this event, which has got its own website, its own Facebook page, its own Twitter, has been planned since June, clearly suggests that the feds know about it and that they have infiltrated it. And you ask the question, you know, would the government infiltrate and use Anonymous to stage a terror attack in DC? Well, yeah, of course they would. I mean, even as the New York Times admitted, virtually every domestic terror plot inside the United States has been cooked up and provocateured by the FBI, including, of course, the most recent plot to bomb the Federal Reserve building there in Manhattan. So we're seeing this completely infiltrated group. I mean, Anonymous is renowned for being completely infiltrated by the FBI. Its previous members have come out and confirmed that in public. And also we've got known disinfo outlets promoting this idea of storming the White House and arresting Barack Obama. On their own website, they talk about they're willing to get shot, they're willing to die. So it's going to turn violent. They're saying it's probably going to turn violent. Now we've got known disinfo agents coming out and trying to get other people in the activist movement involved in it, which, of course, is interesting because a lot of you will remember Hal Turner, who relentlessly attacked Alex Jones in InfoWars. Back in 2009, he was outed as an FBI informant, and his role, as it came out in the court case, was to, quote, publish information which would cause other parties to act in a manner which would lead to their arrest. So he was about making his followers turn violent. And I think this is exactly what we're seeing again with this November 5th anonymous event and the bomb threat that's linked to it. So, you know, obviously there are tons of members of Anonymous with good intentions, but there's never been a group more deeply infiltrated by the feds than Anonymous, and everybody acknowledges that. So now they're trying to bring Oath Keepers into it because, of course, the mainstream media has completely failed in its bid to demonize Oath Keepers as an extremist, violent organization. So now, according to this Anonymous group, on their website, they actually call for the Oath Keepers to become involved in this march, this siege on Washington, and actually protect them with violent force from whatever reprisals they get from, you know, police, the National Guard, whatever, when they supposedly try and storm the White House. So we see them trying to bring in the Oath Keepers to try and radicalize and allow the media to demonize them as violent extremists. So it's all very suspicious, and I think anyone who believes that this isn't some kind of infiltration fed provocateur operation, because every signal clearly smacks of that, you know, is either woefully naive or is deliberately trying to get people arrested because of it. It's a trap. And I mean, the most likely outcome is that it's going to end up being a bunch of teenage hackers milling around Washington DC doing nothing. But given how, you know, top Democratic strategists have openly embraced the idea of staging violent incidents to ensure Obama's re-election, combined with this video threat on YouTube, combined with the event on November 5th to storm the White House and try and arrest Obama, it's a very interesting situation indeed, but I hope it turns out to be absolutely nothing. But be very wary of this November 5th event. There's no doubt about that. Moving on now, my Fox 8 News reports, Guilford County voters say ballot cast for Romney came up Obama on machine. Greensboro, North Carolina, the presidential election is just around the corner and voting issues have already become a problem in Guilford County. On Monday, several voters complained that their electronic ballot machine cast the wrong vote. All the complaints were made by people who voted at the Burr Mill Park polling location. One of the voters, Sher Coromalis, says she cast her ballot for Governor Mitt Romney, but every time she entered her vote, the machine defaulted to President Obama. So they're basically saying in this county they had to vote over and over again for their vote to actually count for the right person. In this case, it was flipping it from Romney to Obama. The election authorities said it was, you know, just a little problem. Everything's going to be fixed, and that it's just a gremlin in the system. There's no conspiracy behind it, they said. So, I mean, we see this at every single election, vote flipping due to electronic voting machines. And it reminds us of that old quote from Uncle Joe Stalin, you know, it doesn't matter who votes, what matters is who counts the votes. So that's basically a paraphrase of it. So it really boils down to the fact that electronic voting machines have proven vulnerable time and time again, and yet at every election we can't seem to get rid of them. When it could be so much easier, all of this would be not necessary to even debate if we had a paper ballot in every instance. But we continue to see these mistakes cropping up with these electronic voting machines. And let's not forget the story from a few days ago out of CBS, a CBS affiliate in Arizona, which actually announced the results of the presidential election on a Friday night during an episode of The People's Court. And they actually flashed it up on screen that Obama had defeated Romney 43-40. So, you know, is the fix in or was it merely a mistake on their behalf? They said they were just testing the system for election night. But we've seen this over and over again. I mean, you'd be the judge, but the fact that electronic voting machine fraud is going to be a big issue over the next 2 weeks seems certain. Shopkeeper labeled racist for criticizing Obama. This is Infowars.com. A story about a Chicago shopkeeper who was labeled a racist simply for posting signs in his store window critical of Barack Obama has garnered widespread media attention, while thousands of racial Twitter messages posted by Obama supporters continue to be ignored by the mainstream press. And this story is about a shopkeeper named Sam Wolfson, who basically stuck up some handwritten signs on his shop window there in Chicago saying, you know, criticizing Obama for bowing down in front of foreign dictators and Saudi kings, as well as criticizing him for his infamous "you didn't build that" quote. So again, not racist under any definition, legitimate political criticism. But then somebody scrawls the word "racist" in red lipstick on his shop window and suddenly it becomes a national media story. So in this article, we document all the other, you know, examples over the past few years of legitimate criticism of Obama being denounced as racist, notably by NBC, who are renowned for playing that race card. Of course, Lawrence O'Donnell, one of the big hosts over at MSNBC, recently implied that criticizing Obama for the fact that he plays golf often is a racial slur. That's the level that it's got now at MSNBC in terms of this chilling of free speech as it pertains to Obama and it being defined as racist. So NBC's reporting on this story. You've got radio stations reporting on it. CBS News is reporting on it. Guy labeled racist for posting some handwritten notes in his shop window. And it's a pretty big story. Meanwhile, they've completely ignored the deluge of tweets, literally thousands, from Obama supporters calling Romney and his supporters, you know, crackers, honkies, other racial slurs. Not to mention the flood of threats to actually assassinate Romney and stage riots if Obama loses the election. So the media is interested in one guy who gets called a racist because he criticizes Obama. But when thousands of Obama supporters openly espouse genuine racism and racial violence, their silence is deafening. A massive double standard once again with the mainstream media. BBC News reports Russia, Syrian rebels have US-made weapons. A senior Russian general has said Syrian rebels now have anti-aircraft weapons, including US-made Stingers. General Nikolai Makarov was quoted by the Interfax news service as saying that the origin of the surface-to-air missiles should be cleared up. Quote, "We have reliable information that Syrian militants have foreign portable anti-aircraft missile systems, including those made in the USA. It should be cleared up who delivered them," General Makarov told journalists in Russia. So while Syria is having its commercial airlines intercepted by Turkey because they might contain arms, turned out they actually contain nothing whatsoever, but Turkey avoided international condemnation anyway. Now the US is openly arming the Al-Qaeda rebels, according to this report. So $200 million in taxpayer money already sent to the rebels to help them, you know, burn down Christian churches, cut people's heads off, carry out terrorist attacks. That's obviously not enough. And of course, Romney has openly announced that if he gets in power, it's basically open season on sending heavy weaponry to these terrorists, most of whom aren't even Syrian, again proving that the uprising is completely contrived and funded and backed by foreign entities. So basically, apparently there's no need to hide it anymore. The weapons are directly going from the US to the rebels. And if Romney gets in power, that's only going to become public knowledge. So basically the government's using your money to arm people who like to wave around Al-Qaeda flags while burning US flags. And if you don't get behind it, then you're unpatriotic. And you know, Obama and Romney can argue with each other all night long during the debate the other day on who's tougher on Al-Qaeda, when they both vehemently support arming and funding Al-Qaeda in Syria. Staying with geopolitical news now. CNS News reports State Department email to White House at 6:07 p.m. on 9/11/12. Ansar al-Sharia claims responsibility for Benghazi attack. On September 11, 2012, just 2 hours after the State Department first began notifying government agencies back in Washington, including the White House, that the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was under attack by armed men, State sent out an email that went to at least two people in the White House that said the group Ansar al-Sharia had claimed responsibility for the attack. And this email went directly to the executive office of the White House hours after the attack had unfolded. Quote, this email said nothing about a YouTube video. The email said nothing about a spontaneous demonstration. So we now know for a fact that the White House knew the very day of the incident that it was a terrorist attack carried out by some of the very same Al-Qaeda militants the US and NATO had armed and funded the previous year to overthrow Gaddafi in Libya. And yet Obama, of course, lied to the American people for at least 2 weeks, claiming that the attack on the consulate was caused by a ridiculous, sophomoric 14-minute YouTube clip that wasn't even a movie, insulting the Prophet Mohammed. And we had to labor through that story for over 2 weeks. So now it's come out that they knew that wasn't the case the very same day. The Republicans are going to try and use this to score political points for Romney, even though, as we just discussed, Romney has publicly announced he's going to follow the exact same foreign policy as Barack Obama, only to a greater degree. And the media wonders why, you know, Obama and Romney agreed with each other for virtually the entire debate the other night on foreign policy. And it's because Romney's told us he's going to pursue the exact same foreign policy as Obama, funding and arming Islamic extremists around the world to destabilize countries, to grease the skids for the annexation of, you know, the remaining rogue states, rogue that is to the New World Order, namely Syria and Iran. Steve Watson reports for Infowars.com, mom found guilty by court after refusing TSA pat-down on daughter. A woman who stood up to TSA screeners and refused to allow them to grope her 14-year-old daughter has been found guilty of disorderly conduct and sentenced to 1 year of probation by a court in Tennessee. And this concerns Andrea Fornella Abbott of Clarksville, who was arrested by Nashville Airport authorities for expressing outrage at TSA procedures. She dared to question the lords in uniform. So basically what happened is she started complaining about the fact that the TSA was groping her 14-year-old daughter, making her pass through a naked body scanner. And the prosecution in the actual case made it stick by claiming that Abbott prevented the TSA from doing their duty of, you know, groping your children, because according to them, the security lanes were slowed to a crawl. But if you actually watch the video of this incident, you can see that the security lanes are moving freely.
To verbally challenge the authority of the TSA, almighty TSA, and the police officer.
But I don't see her raising her hands or being demonstrative with her body.
Nowhere in this law does it say you can't swear at a police officer, you can't swear in public. That's not against the law. She just wanted to stand on principle, and because she felt that she had done nothing wrong.
So it's just another effort to intimidate people into blanket obedience to whatever the TSA says, you know, from the grope downs to the ludicrous all-stop policy where people are supposed to freeze in place like Simon Says or something, to the stupid drinks testing after they've already purchased the drinks in the airport. It's all about obedience training. Quote, it's clear from the video she wasn't preventing anything, Horse said. In closing arguments, the attorney stated, quote, since 9/11, we're losing a lot of freedom and we have to draw the line somewhere, before praising Abbott for standing on principle. And that's why we here at InfoWars are encouraging people to, you know, stand up for those very same principles by taking part in the national TSA opt-out and film week, details of which are at infowars.com/opt-out. We got another big story relating to the TSA, by the way, coming out tomorrow morning, so be sure to check the website for that. Melissa Meltzer, infowars.com, reports conditioning. Xbox poll shows overwhelming gamer support for more drone strikes. Throughout Monday night's final debate between President Obama and hopeful Mitt Romney, viewers watching it on their Xbox 360 consoles were allowed to participate in a live poll. When asked, do you support more use of drone aircraft to attack suspected terrorists, 72% of respondents replied yes. Notice the question asks, do you support more use? in regards to sending unmanned aerial vehicles equipped with missiles to bomb suspected terrorists in other countries, not just continuing business as usual, killing people at the current pace. So basically, this polling sample was huge. I think it was something like 30,000 Xbox users. And of course, previous polls have shown that a clear majority of Americans support these drone strikes, despite the fact that they only kill one militant, suspected militant, again, no due process whatsoever, for every 50 people dead. So that's 49 innocent people killed in order to snuff out one guy who might be a militant. And, you know, even the Pakistani Interior Minister recently came out and said that the vast majority of people being killed in these drone strikes were innocent people. But the majority of Americans support this program, which of course Barack Obama, the peace candidate, has rapidly expanded since he took office. So, you know, it makes perfect sense to me that Xbox gamers who sit there in their mom's basements or whatever playing war games all day would approve of drone strikes in real life. Because in many ways, the two activities are indistinguishable from one another. You know, just like in a video game, the actual operator of a real Predator drone aircraft is sat at the controls with a couple of joysticks at an Air Force base, you know, in Nevada or wherever. And they're completely detached from the reality that this is about raining down death, which in 95% or more of the cases kills innocent people. So these polls again underscore the fact that, you know, we've got a long way to go in waking people up. You know, we're not even at the halfway point. We've highlighted polls in the past which show the majority of Americans support what the TSA is doing, despite the fact they're in the news every single week, stealing people's belongings, smacking people in the testicles, you know, stopping people from flying who show an attitude. Every week they're in the media, the molestation, the hiring of known sex molesters, pedophiles, and yet the majority of Americans still support the TSA. So similarly, with this poll, an even greater majority of Americans support the drone strikes, which the vast majority of which kill innocent people. So again, it emphasizes the fact there's still well over half the country that buy into the propaganda. And that again underscores that we've got a long way to go in the info war. That's going to wrap it up for the news. We turn now to our daily quote, which is from our old friend, Uncle Joe Starlin. Quote, it is enough that the people know there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. And that's pretty appropriate given our earlier story about how the votes there were flipping from Romney to Obama. So we're definitely going to keep on top of election fraud in the next couple of weeks as we approach the presidential election. Now, again, it's very important for you to support us at prismplanet.tv. Many of you will be watching this on YouTube, but it's actually broadcast first live on prismplanet.tv, along with the Alex Jones Show, because the video stream of that, all the archives going back literally to 2004. It's 8 years now. Just a ton of multimedia content, special events, speeches. Stick around after the break. More coming up on InfoWars Nightly News. Stay tuned.
I may not agree with you, but I'll defend to the death your right to make an ass of yourself. Thank you, Oscar Wilde. I'm Christy Hightower here with a quick Planet InfoWars update. Now, I want to talk to you about the first article titled The New Terrorism, Strangling Free Speech by Planet InfoWars user Prometheus Unchained. Now, as I'm sure you do, you consider yourself a patriot. Well, Prometheus goes to point out that the government is picking and choosing which ideologies and philosophies are good and which ones are bad. That is not their place. It's a rule by fear of force. Now, we all have friends that disagree with us, but keep in mind Oscar Wilde's quote. Whenever you want to get angry with them. You know, this is the plan, and it's a great one, to divide the people, keep us fighting amongst ourselves and completely ignorant to what lies ahead of us. Now, people are always asking Alex this question, you know, what do I do when my family isn't awake, when my friends or my family don't pay attention, don't seem to care? And he always answers the same way. He says, be persistent, be patient, and most importantly, be full of love. And this is a big thing to remember because it's really easy to get angry. So moving on, changing gears here, we're going to talk about the upcoming collapse. So do you think you could survive on $500? Well, Planet InfoWars user Giovalli Report explains exactly how to do that. In his article, Live While They Die, How to Survive the Coming Collapse with $500. He provides a practical guide, starting with situational awareness, all the way to a prepared checklist and medical kit, etc. So go check that out, because quite catchy there. And the last article I kind of want to touch on is our food. Now, we all obviously have to eat to survive. And this is actually a repost, but it's by Planet InfoWars user Mia Kay. And she's titled it Rethinking the Dollar Hamburger. So did you know that there's four companies that control over 80% of the U.S. beef? And they run only a couple dozen processing plants. And these cows are injected with antibiotics and hormones their whole lives. They live in filth. And then they're killed with a bolt to the head and mechanically disassembled at a rate of hundreds per hour. Now, I just want to remind you, we all vote with our dollars. And we all have a right to do so. So keep that in mind the next time you go to the grocery store, the next time you go to that McDonald's Happy Meal, whatever. Just keep in mind that what you're doing is actually giving a voice to those people. So visit planetinfowars.com and join the fight today. Patriots, keep talking because we're listening.
Insider billionaire investors like George Soros and John Paulson have recently made massive moves into gold, purchasing what Bloomberg News described as gold hoards. Soros alone doubled his holdings in a single day. Russia's Vladimir Putin has doubled down on gold, increasing the country's holdings by over 100%. With $1.8 trillion under management, the bond king, Bill Gross, the world's preeminent bond fund manager at PIMCO, has warned investors of the dangers of QE3 and inflation. And what's he betting on? You guessed it, gold. Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
My friends, Alex Jones here with a very important announcement. We are launching a new salvo in the info war because there is a war on for your mind. You know that the globalists are trying to get everybody online and only online so they can control and surveil information and also erase books, videos, whatever they want to en masse. That's why we're launching our answer to the internet kill switch, InfoWars Magazine. The first issue, we printed over 90,000 copies of the September issue, and it sold out in less than 2 days. So get your copy of the new Technocratic Elite issue today before it sells out. Again, we cover from the technocratic social engineers' own words, their own admissions, their plan to take over our society and replace us with robots. But we don't just stop with the rise of the robots and the end of humanity, or will humanity survive the singularity? We get into the government buying now 1.6 billion bullets against the American people. We get into Big Sis's surveillance of this magazine and my website, InfoWars.com. We cover QE3 and what hyperinflation means to you and your family. Whatever you do, don't look back later and wish that you would have taken action. Take action now. People have never been more ready for this information. People have never been this hungry, starving for the truth. And it is contained in the new issue of InfoWars Magazine. This is a time capsule. It is so important we get it out to everyone. If you subscribe now for 12 issues, we will give you the first issue absolutely free. So that's 13 issues for our 13 colonies, part of restoring the spirit of 1776 worldwide.
Again, go to InfoWarsStore.com and order 10 packs, up to 100 packs at cost, and give them out to people in your area. The response last month was incredible. People are hungry to actually hold this information in their hands. You can also subscribe and get 12 issues delivered to your door and get the first inaugural issue free. I'm Alex Jones, thanking all of you for your support and making our operation a huge success.
Good evening and welcome to our second installment of InfoWars Nightly News. Now this is going to get pretty serious. I just want to go over a few articles to set this up. So we're going to move through these pretty quickly. Get your pens, write down these headlines because we're about to lay some heavy information on you. First one is from March 19, 2012. Obama's latest executive order, martial law, confiscation of private property and forced labor. On Friday, March 16th, Obama issued another unconstitutional executive order. The National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order allows the government to confiscate your property without due process under the direction of Janet Napolitano and DHS. And here is the executive order. It's called the National Defense Resources Preparedness. And it basically takes a executive order that Bill Clinton instituted and ramps it up. So go look up that executive order. It says everything just in nice lawyer language, how they're going to take your property. Moving on, leaked U.S. Army document outlines plans for re-education camps in America. We reported on this back in May. People said, no, it wasn't true. Then we reported, oh, the U.S. Army said it was true, but that they really didn't want that information to get out to the public. Go read that article and all the relating articles. It talks about having PSYOP officers, command centers. They're taking people domestically. These operations may be performed as domestic civil support operations. That's rounding people up, okay? And talks about all kinds of stuff in there. Go read the document. Read it for yourself. Next article, DHS purchases 200 million more rounds of ammunition. Following the controversy over its purchase of around 1.2 billion bullets in the last 6 months alone, the Department of Homeland Security has put out a new solicitation for over 200 million more rounds of ammunition, some of which are designated to be used by snipers, okay? So this is just 200 million rounds. They already, before that, bought 1.2 billion. And so we're looking at over 1.6 billion in ammo purchases lately through the government. Now let's go back to 2009. H.R. 645, the National Emergency Centers Establishment Act. And let's just look at the top line there. To direct the Secretary of Homeland Security to establish National Emergency Centers on military installations. Now, remember New Orleans and Katrina? Okay, remember what the chief of police had to say?
Guns will be taken.
Yeah, no one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
So all guns will be taken. They went into the high and dry areas and took people's guns. They took little old ladies' guns. Anybody who had a gun trying to protect themselves and their property, it was taken. Here's the article. New Orleans mayor admits illegal gun confiscation. That was from the National Rifle Association out of 2008. Now, if you go to this video, which we played not too long ago, troops ordered to kill all Americans who do not turn in guns. This was a nightly news piece that we put out. Go check that out. It's 21 minutes long, and it goes over the whole history of what they're trying to do with the guns in America. And also, we have Mike Adams, who interviewed a whistleblower, said, yeah, he was in the National Guard and in the Army at the time. He said, yeah, we were going in, kicking in doors, saying, you know, anybody there, do you have any guns? Taking people's guns in the middle of the night. Now we go to this next one from 2006. So see, this isn't just Obama. This is Bush, and this is Clinton before him, and then Reagan, and old Bush Sr. The Military Commissions Act, Questions and Answers. This is from the Center of Constitutional Rights. This is from October 24th, 2006. Go read that article. It talks about how they're going to suspend habeas corpus and other nice things. Habeas corpus has its origins in the Magna Carta of 1215. Is the great writ that protects people from arbitrary arrest, disappearance, and indefinite detention without charge. the cornerstone of Western justice, and is essential to the idea that laws, not individuals, be they presidents or kings, govern the land. That's right. So the law is bigger than any man. Now, what do we have? The NDAA? Now, here's an article that we just published on October 17th. Breaking. Prepper put on no-fly list, stranded in Hawaii. And this is a man named Wade Hicks, who was flying to see his wife, and somewhere along the line, he was put on a no-fly list, and he was stranded in Hawaii. Now, you go check out this video. Prepper put on no-fly list speaks out. A man named Wade Hicks basically got stranded in Hawaii. There he goes through everything, how they had a preppers group that they had, and some guy who they didn't really trust. He came in and said some weird things. Well, they followed him, and he went to a Department of Homeland Security headquarters, and they said he parked in the handicap spot. Very interesting. And then he gets put on a no-fly list. Well, yesterday I got an email from a National Guardsman. We're about to bring him up here. And basically, he says that, well, here's what he wrote me in an email. Doomsday preppers will be treated as terrorists. Let's get a shot of this real quick. This is the email that came to me, and there it is. Doomsday preppers will be treated as terrorists. There's a lot of other stuff in this, but here, that's what really caught my eye, because we just had Wade Hicks on the show talking about this, how he was a prepper, and he was put on a no-fly list. So our government is digging in, they're buying ammo, they're preparing for civil unrest, but you as an individual, if you do it, well, now we're being told you're going to be treated as a terrorist, and we've already had people on the show that have been treated as terrorists. They've been put on no-fly list. So this individual who sent us this email, he is who he says he is, we vetted him, but he wants to remain anonymous. So for now, we're going to call him Soldier X, and Soldier X, how you doing?
I'm doing all right today.
Excellent. So let's start off with this Doomsday Preppers. Where were you told this information, and how many times were you told that Doomsday Preppers will be treated as terrorists?
I've only been told once. When I was told, it was a briefing in the event that there is civil unrest after the election, because of all the talks of if Romney gets elected, there's going to be people going around trying to kill Romney, and they say that there's going to be people that are Democrats trying to kill Republicans because Romney got elected. So in the event of that civil unrest, they're asking the Army National Guard troops to come in and basically take over the civil unrest and calm it down, is basically what I understood.
Well, and that's happened before. We saw that in the L.A. riots. We saw it in New Orleans. So bringing in the National Guard is something that the government does from time to time. But now you're saying Doomsday Preppers, though, they're going to be specifically going after people who are prepared for this type of event?
They have a list compiled, and I haven't seen the list, but they have a list compiled of all these Doomsday Preppers that have gone public, and they plan to go after them first because they think that they're going to be the worst part of the civil unrest, even though those people are going to be the people sitting at home defending their homes and their own property from those that just want to go crazy and lose their minds.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, because these people aren't going to need to be taken care of. They're not going to be standing in the food lines. They're not going to be looting. Yet now it seems as if they're going to be treated as terrorists. But beyond that, they also said soldiers who are preppers will be treated as defects. Now, what does defect mean in your lexicon, in the National Guard lexicon?
Basically, a defect is somebody who has turned and started aiding the enemy, a traitor, basically, somebody who no longer wants to conform to the way that they want things to be. And if you don't conform, they'll get rid of you.
And you were told this in a briefing as well?
Yes.
Wow.
We were told not to be in any affiliation with them or any part of them.
Man. And your email's filled with all kinds of stuff. And you were talking about how they're going to have sanctions on fuel, and that you've already seen the preparedness of basically refueling stations, temporary refueling stations being set up. Tell us about that.
I know that the equipment is coming in mass numbers, and none of it's been set up yet. All of it's still coming in, and all the pieces are still coming in. But if they say we're not at war and that, you know, we don't need all this combat equipment anymore, then I'm wondering why do they keep building this stuff that we used in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they say they're cutting troops numbers and cutting back on defense and stuff, but yet they keep building war-fighting vehicles. And my question was, who's going to operate these pieces of equipment if you get rid of us?
Right. And, yeah, who is going to operate them? Are they going to bring in foreign troops? Is this going to be a UN takeover via the National Guard, working together with the National Guard? I've already got them on camera working with Polish troops, the National Guard, and they do this all the time. In Chicago, Poland is, or Illinois National Guard, their sister country is Poland. And so I'm sure there are other sister countries out there. And, I don't want you to name your sister country, but you agree with me, right? You've heard of that before, the sister countries that work with our National Guards?
I have heard of it, but I have not experienced it firsthand myself on that part of it. I know that a lot of us are keeping low-key and trying to stay out of the limelight. Our worry is that Obama's going to do what he said he's going to do, and he's going to outlaw all weapons altogether, and anybody's name who's on a weapon, they're going to come to your house and try to take them. And our take on that is that they're going to call us National Guard troops and tell us we got to go take guns away from hardworking Americans like, you know, you and me. And I'm sorry, but I don't believe in suicide.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be blood on both sides, and it's not going to be pretty. Your buddies, what are you guys saying? Are you guys planning on going along with this, or what is your, if you're ordered to take guns from Americans, you know, what is your response going to be?
We're going to basically go underground, basically. We're not going to answer the phone. We're not going to show up. We're just going to basically disappear.
So essentially standing down.
Basically, yes.
I got to commend you for that.
We're not going to fight for a cause that's not right. I understand fighting a cause in Iraq against terrorists that are trying to kill us every day, but I don't believe in fighting our own people. I don't understand the point.
Right. Now, what do you make of this? You also mentioned in this about you were doing some training in White Sands, Mexico, and that there were heavily armed special forces on the border. Were you in New Mexico? You said Mexico in your email.
I meant to say New Mexico. We were in White Sands, New Mexico. There's a training ground out there in White Sands called Camp McGregor. Mm-hmm. And we were training out there, and me and my buddies, we all saw the special forces out there training out behind buildings, and then they were loading up in trucks, and they were very heavily armed. I'm talking sniper rifles, machine guns, you name it, they had it. And they all headed towards the border, and they disappeared for probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 days.
Wow. So bottom line, you've got them decimating the ranks. You were telling me that they were cutting people out who put 20 to 30 years in service, and they're just cutting them out. Have you seen them bringing in younger people, or have you seen the ranks being replenished? Tell us a little bit about that.
I haven't seen any ranks replenishing. What I see every day is people that have given 20 to 30 years of their lives in service to this country, who've given sweat, blood, and tears and put boot to ash for this country, being thrown out on the streets with nothing. I had a good buddy of mine who gave the military 35 years of his life. And the best they could do was a random phone call from a random sergeant major saying that, sorry, but your service is no longer needed. And there's no warning when it comes. It's just a phone call. And if you ask him any questions, he says, I don't have any information to answer any questions. I'm just calling to give the bad news. And before this year, they weren't doing the phone calls. It was a random letter that came in the mail, and you never know if it was going to come. And there are no transition programs in place to help soldiers go from soldier to civilian. And, you know, I actually addressed my congressman with this problem, and my congressman told me, welcome to the real world, because he said corporate companies are doing that all over the world. And I said, it's not the same. Being in a civilian company, going to another civilian company is one thing, but being a soldier who's done nothing but be a soldier since he left high school, and it's all he knows, and all of a sudden you're telling him he's out of a job, and in the Guard, We are federal technicians if we work full-time for the Guard. And if you get kicked out of the Guard, you lose your full-time job. So basically, you get a phone call that says, sorry, you're out of a job, and there's no warning, there's no prep, there's no nothing. It's just to throw you out on the street and hope you make it.
Now, do you think they're targeting so-called preppers in this movement, or do you think it's just kind of across the board?
It's kind of across the board. They're trying to get people for medical stuff. They're either getting people for medical, they're getting them saying that if they got 20 or 30 years that they need to get them out and get new faces in and fresh soldiers in. But I haven't seen a replenishment of the ranks myself. Basically, what it comes down to is they're decimating our military, and I don't see how we're supposed to hold our own borders and end all these wars if you get rid of all of our troops. I mean, who's going to fight the wars if you fire all of us?
Well, you've got the UN, and you've got NATO. You've got troops that will follow any orders, including, you know, killing women and children and working with terrorists, Al-Qaeda. We've already shown that to happen. So bottom line, basically, you've been told in briefings that if you're a quote, doomsday prepper, you're going to be treated as a terrorist, and those who are in the ranks of the National Guard will be seen as defects if they're preppers as well.
Yes.
Wow.
And right before the end of the day today, they said that there was going to be something on the news tonight. It's supposed to be on the Austin News. I don't know what channel. They just said it was going to be on the Austin News, and apparently it's a discussion about the way that the Texas Army National Guard has been spending money. Apparently, they see a lot of stuff that's going on as frivolous spending, and they see a lot of stuff going on that's like wasteful spending, and it's abuse of the government's money and of the taxpayers' money. And some of the news people are taking notice of all this money that's going out, but my problem with that is that they're going to question soldiers that are in the lower ranks, like me and my buddies, who have nothing to do with where the spending goes. We're just soldiers, and we do as we're told.
Yeah, why don't they question the banks and why they're getting $40 billion a month from the Fed, and what are they doing with that money? That seems like a big waste of money, but they won't be doing that. We know that.
Well, we in the last year have seen so much wasteful spending that we've noticed as soldiers, and we kind of question it, and we're like, you know, why is the Army wasting money doing this stuff? And we're told, don't ask questions, just do what you're told.
Yeah, just follow orders. Yeah.
And
that's what the Germans used as their excuse in Nuremberg. We were just following orders.
And now it's come down to basically a very minute, well, I won't say minute. There's a group of us that have gotten tired of all the stuff that's going on. There's a lot of times when we look back, when we were in Iraq, and now we question everything that we did over there and wonder, and now we ask, what was it for? And there's no answers.
Well, it was to train you to be able to come back home and do the same thing here to the American people. And, you know, you may not have realized it then, but that was the grand chessboard scheme. Soldier X, we're going to talk more to you tomorrow. I'm pretty sure Alex is going to want to have you on the show. So we're going to definitely have more updates on this. And, we thank you for calling and reaching out to us. And, we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, there it is, folks. You know, I just laid out a bunch of articles and executive orders and stuff that's coming down the pike. So you better check yourself. You better make sure your house is in order, because this stuff is coming down the pike, and we're not just blowing smoke. We're not just crazy conspiracy theorists. We're going to be right back with Greg Pallas. I got to take a second and check my head, and we'll be right back. It's InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm Rob Due.
Really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and well, we resist them via a free market system.
Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. This is our final segment, and we're going to sit down with a corporate fraud investigator turned journalist who won an Orwell Award for the documentary Bush Family Fortunes that was aired on the BBC. He's also won six Project Censored Awards, which are stories that our corporate masters don't want us to hear in the United States but are heard everywhere else around the world. He's investigative journalist and author Greg Palast, and we turn to him now. Greg, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Excellent. Well, we've been covering a lot of this proposed voting fraud that's going to be going on. You know, it happens every year. You've covered it in 2000 and 2004. Well, now we've got, looks like nearly 1,112 year olds voting in North Carolina. They're really getting the vote out for the Centurions. And then,
Hope they carpool.
Yeah, there you go. And then we got, in North Carolina voter, machine recorded vote for Obama twice. And then Romney family buys voting machines through Bain Capital Investment. Which one do you want to hit on first?
Well, I think that How about the voting machines and Bain Capital?
All right.
It's interesting that Bain seems to be concerned most with voting machines in Colorado and Ohio. And the question is, why those two states? Why, you know, we, in a lot of places are buying voting machines. Why was it so necessary to make a big push to sell there? Those are the two big swing states plus Florida. You have three big swing states. Now, I know a lot of people are afraid that if they vote on a computer machine, that someone is somewhere is going to muck with the software so that your vote will change from one candidate to another. You know, it's possible to hack these things. I've watched them hack pretty easily. But that's the least problem, because there is a very, very, very easy way to steal votes by computer. It's called unplugging the computer. What we have in the U.S., in fact, my new book, Billionaires and Ballot Ban, it's called How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps. One of the steps we call prestidigitizing, like presto change-o. It's just, you know, poof, it's not there. So one of the big tricks, one of the things that's happening with voting machines is that computers tend to lose more votes than any other method of voting. They cost 5 times as much as any other method of voting, and yet they lose more votes. When I say lose them, they just disappear. For example, in Sarasota, Florida, we had one election in which 18,000 votes in brand new computer machines just went poof. Now, the election was won by 500 votes. Now, here's the question. Whose 18,000 votes were they? Well, it ends up being in the precincts of one party for the most part. People vote like their neighbors vote, so that you don't have to switch a particular vote. If someone says, I want Romney, switch to Obama, or Obama to Romney, that's a lot of work for a hacker. The easiest thing to do is have the machine glitch. It doesn't record. That leaves no fingerprints. It didn't work. Gee, we're sorry. The memory sticks don't hold the stuff. That's a typical thing. We're losing. And you'll love this number, or you'll hate it, depending on whether you're an oligarch or not. 1.4 million votes were lost, spoiled, as they call them in the biz, through these so-called glitches in the last election. 1.4 million. That's from the U.S. Office of Elections Assistance, our Elections Assistance Commission in D.C. They keep raw data on the votes that are counted, but also votes that aren't counted.
That is amazing. 1.4
million votes.
That is amazing. And no one makes a big stink out of it. That sounds like a story that we should have heard, but of course we never do.
You made a big stink out of it. I'm trying to tell you, like, if it weren't for Alex Jones, how do these stories come out? There are very few places which are going to touch a story. They say, oh, we're conspiracy nuts. Well, I'm a conspiracy expert. That is, I was a U.S. government racketeering investigator. I report these stories on the top of the nightly news for BBC and on big papers all over the planet. I can't get it into the U.S. If I say, look, 1.4 million votes were cast and not counted, in the last election, we have that. That's your official United States government statistic. Oh, you're a conspiracy nut. You know, I'm sorry. I guess that always gets, you know, like you just call someone a conspiracy nut, and it always gets a laugh from the conspirators. None of this happens by accident. It really doesn't. Yeah, I mean, there's accidents, but it's what I call vulture opportunism. The machine glitches. They know it's going to glitch. They don't fix it. You know, they simple gimmicks. They don't hand out passwords in certain precincts, so it takes hours to open the machines.
Mm-hmm.
Machine gets unplugged. Certain areas, they know that they put in bad computers in areas like Dustin, New Mexico, and Pueblo. If you're a Native American, your vote so seldom actually gets counted. It's ridiculous. And, cause they know they don't give natives, you know, blankets with smallpox anymore. They give them these crap machines that won't work in dusty conditions, or they don't work in humid conditions in the South. They know where this stuff is going, because I've had election supervisors say, we scream and holler, why are you giving us these machines? We know that they're going to break down. You know, how many times has your Windows computer crashed? And Windows is something which thousands of people work on debugging. Here you have thousands of people who seem to work on bugging.
Bugging them, yeah. And we saw this during the Republican primary, especially in Iowa. There were parts where votes didn't even come in. They say, we got the guy driving around with the votes, and then they disappear. Lights go out in other places, and when they turn back on, well, here's the results now. I mean, magical stuff happens during these elections.
You know, it's very fascinating. Mr. Romney would not be the nominee right now if he hadn't won Iowa, which he didn't.
Yeah.
Because votes went missing. And then, interestingly, it was not Republicans who blew the whistle. It was patriots and others who started screaming about it. It
mainly Ron Paul people. The
Republican Party.
Right.
And they say, wait, these votes aren't adding up. They're not. The votes are missing. And so, you know, Santorum, whether you like him or not, was the winner. But I guess ripping the sleeves off his sweater wasn't enough. They had to rip the votes off, too. This is so that was a dry run to what's going to happen in a couple weeks.
So you think they're going to throw it for Romney in this case?
I don't know. I think that a lot of votes are going to be stolen.
Yeah.
By the millions. In fact, I can give you a pretty solid number, about at least 5.9 million, because I'm a statistician. I worked from the government's raw data. About 5.9 million votes are going to go kapoof. Whether that will be enough for Romney, I don't know. I don't think that even his backers who are pulling this game off are really trying to steal it for Romney. There are a lot of close Senate races that are really the deepest concern. And we've got two big databases, Themis, which is owned by the Koch brothers, and Data Trust, which is operated by Karl Rove. There's these vulture hedge fund managers that are behind him and building something called Data Trust. And you have to understand, this is not about a Republican winning or a Democrat winning. These are very rich guys who are basically trying to bend elections and get in politicians that make them happy.
Right.
For example, I'll give you a good example of how this works. Dan Loeb, who's funding, gave $1 million to fund this data trust data mining system, which will be used to challenge voters. This time it's going to be used to challenge voters for Obama. They're going to knock out hundreds of thousands of voters saying, oh, that guy's from a false address. He's a felon. That's a glitch vote. That's a wrong address. That's what he's going to do. Last time in 2008, this same Dan Loeb was the richest, biggest donor to Barack Obama because there are certain things he wanted from Obama, which he got. He got a big piece of the auto bailout. But now Romney's coming up with a plan for to get the money back into the country for free. Yeah. So in other words, it has nothing to do with politics. They don't care whether it's Romney or Obama.
Oh, I know.
They just need a certain, you know, they have to choose which hand puppet to stick their hand in.
Exactly. Well, I think it's funny, in a country like Venezuela, we had one of our computer IT guys went down to vote in the election, and they get a little piece of paper after they vote. It says who they voted for. And then they hand it to a person, and it's tabulated with the electronic results. And they say, all right, this is corroborated. These results are good. They're going to go on. So you'd have to really do a lot of vote losing or vote stealing, vote changing, whatever you're going to do. It would take a lot more effort to get a piece of paper. And these machines were designed by Diebold, which is a company that makes ATMs. And boom, you know, we don't know how to make pieces of paper appear, apparently.
Yeah, look.
We're saving trees.
I actually talked to Hugo Chavez about that. I said, you know, because he was one of the reasons he got into this improving voting machines is that he thought he could get a more sympathetic government in Washington if he helped Americans vote properly. That's what began. It began with a conversation I had with Chavez. But what he found out quickly is that no one wants the votes to count in America. It doesn't matter whether Democrats or Republicans. There's an oligarchy that run this system. And look, at the moment, this election is going to be mostly supporters of Romney who are going to be doing the vote hacking and chopping and unplugging of the computers, because that's where the billionaires are this time. But before they backed other people, like Penny Pritzker, the billionaire rogue banker from Chicago, the person who actually created Barack Obama's career. Well, his first election, he lost for Congress. The second election, he ran unopposed. Why? Because Penny Pritzker and her gang put in a bunch of money and basically disenfranchised thousands of black voters on the south side of Chicago in Barack Obama's district and knocked his opponent, the incumbent state senator, off the ballot. So Obama's very used to knocking off black voters off the voter rolls. Except now he's finding out that, you know,
when you happen to him,
that game, they've got bigger computers, buddy. They've got Cokes, have Themis. You're still playing with your floppy disks.
It's so disgusting because, you know, we know most of the people out there are asleep. They're still fighting this two-party system, which is a sham. And, you know, but it would still be nice to just have the will of the people, even though they are asleep, at least see what the real will of the people is. Let's get an honest election for once. Why can't we have that? Why can't we have that?
Because there's too much money to be made in bending the system. There's too much at stake to let the people decide. In Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, I go through the point of putting billionaires with ballot bandits in this book is for the purpose of explaining that people don't steal votes to steal elections. They steal votes to steal the money. These are billionaires in both parties. Right now, in 2008, the big banker billionaires are with Obama. Now they've kind of sloshed over to Romney, but more of the Republican Party in hopes of stealing the Senate. And, you know, but it's all about what they want, you know, the financial rules that they want to start. That's the big, big deal here. And that's why this time they're going with Mr. Mitt.
Right.
Because they made their money under Obama. He didn't, crush down the banks as they feared. They named, Timmy Geithner their Secretary of Treasury. They named, remember Larry Summers, the economic czar?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, with Geithner.
He worked with Clinton.
Is our czarina. Well, yeah, these are big investment bankers, that they all, worked with Clinton's boy, Robert Rubin, the co-chairman of Citibank and previous CEO of Goldman Sachs. So it wasn't really Secretary of the Treasury. It was Secretary of Goldman Sachs. In fact, one member of Clinton's cabinet who spoke to me, Joe Stiglitz, who was the, won a Nobel Prize in economics, he was in the cabinet as head of Council of Economic Advisors. He said that during Clinton's, cabinet meetings, Rubin and Summers would sit there and say, well, what did Goldman think of this? What did Goldman think of this? And finally, Stiglitz said, well, I didn't know we're supposed to be setting policy based on what Goldman thinks. Goldman Sachs. And they looked at him like, what, did he just fill off a watermelon truck? You don't know how it's played?
And who let this guy in the room? Yeah, who is this guy? Get him out of here.
And he's got a Nobel Prize in economics, but he thought, you know, there's all these economic rules and dad's doing economic rules. And then, but this time, those boys have run off to the, Republican side this time. And next time we don't know. Maybe the Democrats will feel punished enough to go crawling back to their billionaires. You know, Hillary will, suck back up to them and run. We don't know yet. But all I do know is that this is about not Republicans stealing election, not Democrats stealing election, but billionaires stealing an election. And these guys are not nice. And if they had, if they had our country's welfare in mind, maybe we can have a plutocracy. But I would really like to count the votes this time. Let's just try it out, America.
Yeah. See what happens.
Let's give it a shot.
Well, what rules do you see or what thing trends do you see that they're going to be bending in their favor after this election? What do you see coming down the pike?
There's two things. There's taxes and there's international financial flows, which are the big thing. I had mentioned when I was talking with Alex, and now it's become a big, giant story, millions of hits that wrote this piece for – that's the last chapter of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Mitt Romney made about $115 million on the auto bailout through buying up the auto parts company Delphi.
Mm-hmm.
And moving, and then they moved every single – a production job, union job to China. 25,000 UAW workers lost their jobs in the U.S. 25,000 were hired in China. So Romney is a job creator. I don't want to take that away from him, just the Chinese jobs, right? But the big thing is that they move the corporate headquarters of Delphi, the old Delco GM's part unit. They moved it from Troy, Michigan to an island off the coast of France, the Isle of Jersey, not like Bruce Springsteen Jersey, but off the coast of France, Jersey. It's a notorious tax haven. So Romney moved and his vulture capital buddies moved Delphi from Troy, Michigan, the auto parts division of GM, to the production to China, but the money and profits to this tax haven. So Romney has said that if he gets elected, the first thing he's going to do is allow companies to repatriate, mean bring back their profit from offshore to the United States.
Oh, that's so, awful nice of him.
Yeah, awful nice of him. And he himself will save, he himself will personally save about $30 million in taxes on just one deal. Because he'll be able to, he sends the work to China. The company's made about $1.25 billion. His take, he will then save about $30 million personally if he does that. And his buddies will save billions and billions and billions. In fact, Obama brought up another gimmick. When he made that money on Delphi, his backers, Romney's backers, three big donors, shared a $4.2 billion gain. Three guys, $4.2 billion. Now, they don't pay taxes on that. You're saying, what?
Good night.
It's a gimmick called carried interest. And when Obama was doing that, the I think it was the first debate when he seemed to be dead asleep, but he suddenly said, wait, maybe it was Biden who brought up carried interest. I don't think most Americans watching had any idea what he was talking about. This is a tax break that basically applies just to billionaire hedge fund speculators like Romney and his buddies. That is worth easily $2 billion to these guys. So why not? So, of course, they're going to back – they backed Obama to get the money. Now they have to back Romney so it doesn't get taxed. So there you go. So they switch. First you back Obama, who's for big government and therefore says, I'll write big checks for the auto bailout. Then you get the checks and you send it offshore and the job's offshore. Then you have to elect Romney so that you get to keep the money and doesn't get taxed. So, you know, it has nothing to do with politics.
It's a long-term plan, long-term financial plan.
These guys are good. I have to say, Paul Singer, who's known as the Vulture, I didn't give him that name, but you'll meet him in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Singer, really truly is one of the most brilliant men I've ever investigated or come across. I mean, I'm not going to say that these guys aren't smart. And they're too smart to join a political party. No. They just don't do that. It doesn't happen. They have no politics. They only have profit centers. They don't have parties. They just have profits. That's it. In fact, Ken Langone, one of the billionaires, who is an expert at vote heists, because he's the guy that came up with the fake felon list for Florida back in 2000 that elected George Bush. He says, I don't donate to candidates. I make investments. Romney walked into my office. I'm really telling you the truth. This really happened. This is what Langone said. Romney walked into my office, and I evaluated his campaign like I would any other investment. You know, what's my return? Whoa.
Wow.
You know, if he has – what's his rate of return on the president? I don't know. He gave Romney $1 million. So what did Romney promise to return? That's what I'd like to know, Mr. Romney. What's the return? And am I paying for it or you? That's my problem.
No, we all know we're going to pay for it in the end. We're going to pay for this with our blood, sweat, tears, our money, our savings, the 401ks, anything else they haven't taken already. It's going to happen. What are your sources telling you on a financial collapse? Do you think they're going to keep this Ponzi scheme running or with the Fed just buying $40 billion each month in these securities? I mean, when is this going to run out?
That's a big fight, by the way, within this elite. That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
JP Morgan, Citibank, United Bank of Switzerland, Bank of America, they're backing Obama because they're really afraid. Now, why would these big banks back Obama? They're really afraid that these hedge fund guys like the Singer, the Vulture, Snake Paulson, Iceman Simmons, Koch Brothers, that these guys really have no respect for the dangers of the cliff edge. You know, that these guys are really pushing the entire world economy right to the edge. You know, like these guys, you know, that Singer threatened to blow up the entire bailout of the euro. He bought up a bunch of Greek bonds with Romney, by the way, as his quiet, silent partner. Romney got a little piece. Singer bought up a bunch of bonds and said, no, there's no bailout in the eurozone unless you pay me big time. And he held up the whole bailout for ransom. He got it. But, you know, the bankers totally flipped out. They can't have some guy holding up a massive bailout, a $1 trillion bailout of the eurozone, cranking it for a few extra bucks. So they are really upset. They've gone crazy over this stuff. So there's a huge split now between in the finance circles with the establishment banks backing Obama and the hedge fund cowboys who are really pushing it to the edge. Really pushing it to the edge, backing Romney. So I've never seen a split like this, by the way. It wasn't split in 08. And it wasn't split in 04. They backed Bush in 04. They backed Obama in 08. Now they're split. Kind of interesting. You know, for a reporter, it's a very interesting story.
Seeing the two management teams actually fight over the powers instead of working together.
Yeah, it's got two seats. You know, they're not like, you know, like when we talk about the 1% or something, it's like there's this idea that they all are one solid group. And it's true, they all belong to the same clubs and, you know, they all hang out together and go to each other's daughters' weddings. But there's a certain point at which there's a lot of blood on the floor at this moment. Like with Argentina, for example, the hedge funds are trying to take down Argentina and bring it to its knees. They see $200 billion that they can grab. It's a very rich place. On the other hand, the banks who are getting money every year from Argentina from their old debts and have a piece of Argentina, they don't want to kill the golden goose. They've got Obama going into court saying shut down the hedge funds, and the big banks are pulling their hair out. So you got this fight over Argentina. You know, that ship that was seized off the coast of Africa? You know what? That's Romney's company.
Really?
I didn't see that anywhere. There was a ship that looked like an old pirate ship, an old square rigger, owned by the Argentine Navy. They sail around in it as kind of a PR diplomacy gimmick. And these hedge fund sharks grabbed it. Well, that's Romney's money. Romney, I think, he owns a little piece of it, a tiny piece. I think he gets the parrot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the story right now.
Like pirates. Yeah, they literally grabbed the ship kind of on the high seas as it pulled into the nation of Ghana port.
Uh-huh.
And, by the way, I want Mr. Massa to tell me the truth. There's a Democratic congressman who served on that ship. Mr. Massa, I've been meaning to ask him.
Is that the guy who gives everybody massages, Eric Massa?
Yeah, the tickler. Yeah. Remember the tickler?
Yeah.
Well, the tickler was on that ship as a naval officer, and the tickler was getting a lot of money from Paul the Vulture Singer, Romney's senior partner. And I want to know if Mr. Massa told him where that ship was going and how it could be taken, how they could board it. You know, I mean, basically we got kind of, semi-legal piracy going on here on the high seas. And I just want to know, you know, so you have this, in other words, see, there you go. Cause Massa was a Democrat, a liberal Democrat. So it's not about political parties. It's about profits. And as soon as you get away from the idea of one party versus another, Romney versus Obama, it's a lot easier to understand what's going on.
Oh, wow. It totally blows my mind. It's a lot bigger than I thought it could ever get. And, well, you've really blown up a lot of stuff. I like that 5.9 million votes stolen. I'll be looking out for that come day after the election. Or I guess it'll be a couple days before they finally release that stuff.
Yeah, they still might still 5-9, or that would be the minimum.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that Obama will win or lose, because you know you could have last time we had a 9 million vote official margin.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big thing to look at are the Senate races. I think there's about a dozen really close Senate races which are within the margin of steel in Nevada, in Missouri, I don't think Ohio anymore, but we're going to see some of these really tight contests. Arizona, I think, is going to be a place of massive, massive vote theft in the Senate race.
Wow.
And even though, Romney will probably be the winner of the electoral votes, it's the Senate race that means something. Because the Democrats have decided to put up a real kind of war hero, ranger, tough guy. Hispanic, and if you count votes, he wins. let's not count all the votes.
just the ones that you're going to count. We had an interesting Senate race here in Texas, a primary where we ousted the CIA agent who was our lieutenant governor for a billion years. And, okay. And now we have this guy, Ted Cruz, that everybody thinks is great, but his wife's, connected hip to these, investment bankers. So it's like, are we really getting anything better? I mean, we could either have the CIA agent or the investment banker and his wife. So,
yeah.
It's the same crew. They managed to wiggle somebody in there no matter what. So there's always a choice, but your choice is always, not for you. It's for the other guys. Anything else you want to cover? Did we cover the debates that,
Yeah, well, I think that covers it. I mean, for example, this whole takedown on Delphi Auto was brought up in the debates. Obama brought it up obliquely, the way he does everything half-assed. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Which is that, you've invested in companies that move plants to China. He didn't invest. He was an owner of Delphi Corporation, which moved every U.S. auto parts job to China. And then Romney, even though he didn't use the word auto, knew about the story because I'd spoken to his people and knew that Obama was going to bring it up. He said, I would do nothing to hurt the auto industry in America. I'm the son of Detroit. That he is? He went to some fancy school in Detroit. And then went off to another public school, another state. Then he goes off to Massachusetts, which doesn't look like Detroit to me.
Right.
Harvard, and becomes the governor there with his, with his dancing horse in the car elevator. Yeah, he's the son of Detroit. They don't take on the issues. It's all about, I'm a son of Detroit.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Mr. Romney? I mean, It's really simple, buddy. You bought into a company and you moved, shut down all the plants and you sent them to China. And, you know, but, you know, Obama doesn't, you know, the funny thing is, you know why Obama didn't take it on straight? Cause as president of the United States, he funded that stupid move and didn't say, you're not getting our money to move the jobs to China. They saved enough jobs so they can run some ads.
He could have come out and ran the bully pulpit on him and exposed it. And instead, and then he'd have at least some ground to stand on at that point.
And he could have even said, you know what? Here's the deal. Yeah. Okay. We're going to write billions of dollars in checks, but you're not moving the jobs. I mean, that's the whole point.
Right.
But his own auto czar, Stevie Ratner, whom I call Stevie the Rat, who, by the way, was caught, has been banned from, he's a, worth $250 million himself, the auto czar. He's banned from hedge funds because he was caught committing bribery by the SEC. And so while he's facing criminal charge, possibility of indictment, he turns it over to these guys who are – who all actually themselves – you got – the guys on the auto team were literally making money off the auto bailout. So they were concerned about maximizing – it looks like they were concerned about doing – nothing more than maximizing their personal take on the bailout. And if, you know, if you lose 25, 50,000 auto workers, well, you know, that's collateral damage. We can still say we still say we saved the industry, right? Hey, who's going to challenge?
Exactly. Oh man, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. What are you working on next after this election? Where are the, sales winds of change going to take you?
I hope to Hawaii. Cause I need a vacation. I really do desperately, but, it looks like I'm going to look into, nuclear power, energy, banking. Oh, I got a lot of scams. I want to follow these jobs to China because no matter who's elected, I want to find out about the Chinese involvement in our elections.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's a lot of Chinese money flowing in here that hasn't been investigated. And I think that story is beginning, not ending with this election.
Right.
And so I'm very concerned about the political involvement, China, you know, China purchasing our elections. And I think it's going to be a very, very important issue, especially under, after Citizens United, you know, all you have to do is plonk down $20 and incorporate in Delaware and your money can come from Saudi Arabia, China, North Korea, or Los Angeles. I don't know which is worse.
It's like George Carlin said, it's a big old club and you ain't in it.
Yeah, right. We just get beaten with it.
Exactly. Yeah, they beat you over the head every time they want you to think of something. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, so thanks for, go ahead. We'll check that out. Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. It looks great. I like the cover right there and, hanging up behind you.
Did you see? I have cartoons in it by Ted Rall.
Oh, well, there you go. That, and that can help everybody understand.
You know that, yeah, read it for the cartoons.
There you go. Well, there he is, folks. Greg Palast, uncovering the stories that people don't want to talk about here, especially our corporate masters that don't want people to know about. And it's guys like Greg who are really out there on the mast, on the watchtower, keeping a lookout for this corruption. At least we could say we told you so. You know, you guys can vote for whoever you want, but in the end game, it really doesn't matter. You're going to be voting for one of these clowns. I personally think your best vote is to go for one of these third parties so next election cycle they get a little bit of money to play and we at least get a training wheel into this debate. So with that, we're going to say goodnight, and we will see you tomorrow. Alex should be doing the show, and he'll be interviewing Brian Garish to talk about all kinds of things, Agenda 21. But for tonight, this is InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm your host, Rob Due. Thank you.